the glory, that the King of glory sits in us. Who is the King of glory? The Lord.
Strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let's worship today.
Everything you do, everything you say, it's all for love. It's all for love. And the greatest thrill to the most mundane, it's all for love. It's all for love. Yeah.
You can take my life and have it all. Know you're gonna catch me when I fall. Ooh, you're so good to me. You can take my life and have it all. Know you're gonna catch me when I fall. Ooh, you're so good.
All day, all night, always.
Never ending love.
All day, all night, always.
Never ending love.
Everything I do, everything I say, help me to love. I need your love. In the eyes of man or the secret place, I need a love. I need your love. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can take my life and have it all. Know you're gonna catch me when I fall. Ooh, you're so good to me. You can take my life and have it all. Know you're gonna catch me when I fall. Ooh, you're so good.
Oh,
never-ending love, all day, all night, always. Never-ending love, all day, all night, always. Never-ending love.
You can make my life and have it
all night, always. Never-ending love.
There we go. Oh.
Thank you, Donna. So go ahead and have a seat. I might use your microphone.
Test, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2. Oh, that's much better. I'm going to start all over. Hi, I'm Tracy, also known as Pastor's Wife. You can call me either one. Good morning and welcome to Discovery. So I want you guys to all do me a big favor, and I know we ask you to do this every week, but please, if you have a worship folder, just take that connection card out, and we're going to come back to it in just a second. I don't host from up here. Usually, I'm hosting our live stream. So can everyone just make noise for our live stream folks? And that way they know that we're all together in spirit. Hi, live stream fam. Last week, John and I took a little R&R, and I was watching Jason Curry host on the live stream, and I thought, he's more fun than I am. And honestly, I pride myself on being a very fun person, but Jay Curry, you got that in the bag. So I'm hosting up here this week, and I have a few things I'd like to share. Here's what you can expect this morning. This amazing group of friends is going to continue to lead us in worship. And we are also going to hear our second week from the teaching series called Complicated. Jesse was so awesome to bring the opening part of that series last week. If you want, you can prepare by opening up your Bible to Luke chapter 6, and we'll continue to walk through the Beatitudes today. Also this morning, because this Sunday is kind of our evangelism, church planting, missions Sunday, fittingly, we have a couple that's very near and dear to my heart that we're going to commission today because they're leaving for Liberia. So later in the service, we'll get to pray over them as they prepare for that trip. Then, of course, like I said, we'll have our teaching time. We'll have a time to give back to God and respond to what he says to us today. And that brings me back to this connection card. So if you have it, take it out. And if you have a pen, I know that primarily we use our connection cards for people who are new to Discovery, and we welcome you. We're so glad that you've come to check out our church family and what God's doing here. It's a way for you as a first-time guest to let us know you're here. We want to connect with you, maybe send you a thank you, and tell you how you can get further connected. But did you know this, Donna? It's not just for first-timers. That's right. If you have a connection card, you can also use that to just let us know what's going on with you. How did God speak to you this morning? Maybe how we can pray for you. So use that connection card. At the end of the service, we have a giving back to God time. You can put it in that basket. I think that's it. I'll be back up at the end of the service with a couple more announcements, but if you guys would you stand and pray with me as we ready our hearts to meet with our Heavenly Father today, who's so faithful to meet with us. God, we know that you alone are the satisfaction of our souls. And it's why on a rainy February morning, here we are. And we long to hear from you. We long to connect with other parts of our family of faith and lift you up together. Because we trust you, even in the times that are complicated and there is suffering, that you, loving, almighty, sovereign God, have a blessing to bring. So we're trusting you for that. Draw us near in worship and praise. Draw us near as we look into your word. And God, help us to leave changed because we met with you. In Jesus' name, powerful name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
I will live for the moments where I'm still in your presence. All the noise dies down. Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. I can't miss a thing. And Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new. So I surrender all. All I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper, Lord. I will open up a again. Throw my fears into the wind. I'm desperate for a touch of heaven. Whoa. You're the cool in the evening, the breath in my soul, or the life in my bones. There is no hesitation in your love and affection. It's the sweetest of all. Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. 'Cause all I want is to live within your love and be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again. Throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for a touch of heaven. Whoa, 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 have your way in me now. I open up my heart to you. I open up my heart to you now. So do what only you can. Yeah. Jesus, have your way. Desperate for a touch of heaven.
A little bit longer. God.
We seek for a life that is good and that is holy and that is beautiful, Jesus, that you give it freely and abundantly. God, we ache. We ache with sorrow in this world. And we are so thirsty and desperate just for your goodness and your holiness and your truth to win out, Jesus. God, only you can satisfy. Only you can satisfy our longings, our hurts. God, we yearn for you this morning. We are desperate for you, Jesus. Just a glimpse, just a fresh fragrance. God, fill us anew. Fill us, God, to the overflow. The overflow. Would you fill us up, fill us anew today? You satisfy us. And death could not hold you, and the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. That's the truth. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory, before you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Yours is the name above all names. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
There will be a day that, regardless of financial stature or position in the world, there will be a day, regardless of the level of cynicism, pride, selfishness, or brokenness, that every knee will bow before the King of Kings. every knee will bow and declare that Jesus, you are Lord. It is my prayer and our prayer together that here today, before the wrapping of all time, before the sealing up of the days, that here and now, men and women, particularly in this room, in this place, would bow and declare that you are Lord. That I am not. I am no longer in charge of the world around me, the world in my house, or even my own self. Jesus, you are Lord of all things. There's a sweetness that's found in surrender. And I pray that we might discover it, because there is no better place than to bow at the foot of the cross and there discover such freedom and joy. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Glad to have you guys here this morning. Okay. You guys glad to be here? Man, it's a good day to be alive. And some of you are not so sure, but I'm telling you what, trust me, it's a good day. Hey, a couple of things Tracy didn't mention, but she will talk about it a little bit at the very end. Today we are launching a year-long Bible reading campaign. So we've been talking about last couple of, thanks, Jason. Thank you, Jason. Jason, are you going to join me in this thing? 100%. So speaking of 100%, here's my prayer, guys. I'm praying that 100 people join me in this Bible reading challenge this year. And so I'm going to encourage you to, over the next, you know, we got about another, 45 minutes together. I'd like you to be prayerfully thinking about making a commitment to join me in a Bible reading challenge. And so we have a table out here in the foyer on my right or your left on your way out. There's a table there. And there's a bunch of books. They're called Foundation. There's several different options. And I'm going to invite you to pick an option that works best for you. There's a one that's related to kids and the whole family can go through together. There's one that's a New Testament version, one a whole Bible version. So stop by and pick it up. There is a suggested donation. You don't got any money on you today? I don't care. Take it home, all right? So we will find some way to cover it. If you've got a little bit more money than the suggested donation, want to put a little more extra in, great. That would be awesome. So, but here's the thing. I want you to seriously consider stepping in to God's word, perhaps like you have not ever before. And some of you, you've tried it before. And probably in your mind right now, you're like, oh man, I tried this. I failed gloriously. I don't know. Try again. Okay? So I had a friend of mine that used to say, hey, he says, one thing about my life I discovered, he says, sometimes I skip a meal. Like, I don't know, I get so busy, I forget breakfast. I couldn't completely relate. I have a hard time missing any meal, right? But he says, it's a weird thing. Sometimes I get busy and I miss a meal. Some of you can relate. Been so busy, you worked right through lunch. He said, a weird thing is, even if I skip a meal, I have yet to give up on eating. Tracy caught it, right? Same thing with God's word. Maybe you've skipped a meal or two, okay? Maybe you've gotten so busy and so distracted, or you tried and you failed. Hey, you still got breath in your lungs? Try again. Okay, I'm switching gears. That was my sermon A. Now we'll go to sermon B. So anyway, so I'm glad that you guys are here. Some of you, I think most of you have been here a while. Some of you, this might be your first time with us. And so we are walking through the Bible together. We're walking through the Gospel of Luke right now. We might be in the Gospel of Luke for a long time. I don't know exactly how long. We might be here forever. I don't know. It's such a rich book in the Bible. So this is called the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, find chapter 6. And we are in a three-week series. So we're splitting up the Gospel of Luke into lots of these little series. Okay? And so right now we're in the series called Complicated. Could you say Complicated for me? Complicated. So our series is called Complicated. It's a study of the Beatitudes. And so this is a sermon that Jesus delivers. He delivers it. It's his first sermon that he delivers after appointing or setting aside his 12 disciples. And it's kind of a really cool moment. Now, speaking of complicated, I don't know about you, but most of the time when I hear the word complicated, it's usually somewhat of an insult to me. So most of the time when someone says it's complicated, it's usually when I ask a question, like, hey, I don't understand, and they'll look at me up and down, and they'll say, it's complicated. And that's a good way to think of it. Maybe they don't know how to explain it. I think most of the time, Alicia, they look at me and they think, I don't think he could ever understand. I think he's one of those guys that doesn't matter how hard I try, it's just way above his pay grade. It's possible. I'd like to go in that direction, that maybe they don't, but just lots of times I think people look at me and they're like, you know what? I just don't know that he could possibly understand. Have you ever experienced that before? Maybe when you're a kid and your parents looks at you, it's like, maybe when you're older, you know, it's just too complicated. And what they mean is they mean like, hang in. Just keep your nose to the grindstone. Just keep working it. Trust the process. Trust me, right? And so a lot of times when I hear the word complicated, that's how it's given to me. It's sort of a little bit insulting. However, there are things in life that I just need to know. There's things that I just deeply, desperately need to understand. And one of those things that I deeply need to understand is I need to understand faith. I need that. It's not a want for me. It's a necessity to understand faith. I need somebody to like unpack unravel the complicated nature of faith. I need someone to get in there and help remove the mystery. I need to know how it works because I see people all around me that seem to have it down. Anybody? Anybody, you see people around you that seem like they have this connection with God, this connection with the divine. They seem to experience joy and purpose and meaning, and it seems like miracles come all the time to them. Anybody? So sometimes you look around at people and you're like, man, I wish I had that. What's wrong with me? So I don't know if you felt that, but I felt that many times. Like, what's wrong with me, and why is faith so hard? Now, if that's you, you're not alone. I don't mean to say that, hey, I'm in the same boat sometimes, but I mean throughout history, men and women have been like you. They've struggled to understand, like, how do I really experience faith? How does this thing get to be real in my life? Is it just for a few people, or could it be me too? And in fact, you're not alone, because 2,000 years ago, I think the very same thing was happening. So I'm going to take us right to Luke chapter 6. I want to share with you how I see Luke chapter 6. Luke tells us this really cool thing. He says that Jesus came down to the plain. And, you know, where Matthew tells us that, gave us what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Scholars say that Luke records the Sermon on the Plain. And so this is where Jesus comes down. So Jesus isn't in the high and mighty place. He's not in this high unattainable tower. He comes down to our level. He comes down to our plane. He's right there mixing it up with us. Luke tells us that Jesus has just appointed the 12 disciples. It's an exciting moment. You know, there's this kind of newness. You're like, wow, I just got appointed. Appointed to what? They don't even know yet. And at the same time that this happens, there are people that are showing up from all over, because rumor has it that there's this rabbi, this teacher named Jesus, who has this power to heal. Like, he's doing some miracles. So people are coming out of the woodwork, and they're coming to this plain, okay, this level place where Jesus has just appointed his disciples, and they're descending on Jesus, and it's getting super crowded, and people are trying to touch Jesus. You know, if you've ever been to a really crowded place, maybe you went to a concert when you were 17 and you got to the front row and everybody's crushing forward, right? That's the kind of thing. Everybody's pressing all the way forward. They're just trying to reach through the crowd or under the crowd or around somebody. They're trying just to touch Jesus, because they know if they could just get close to Jesus for a second, everything would change. Their problems would melt away. Their pain would be gone. They could be normal again. How long has it been since I've been normal? Thank you. Alicia and I are in the same boat. Alicia said, I've never been normal, me either. So that's what they're thinking. They're like, man, I've never tasted or touched normalcy. And they want so bad to touch Jesus, and they're crowding in. And Luke says that in this whole like kind of tense and like viral moment, people are touching Jesus and being changed. There's miracles happening. It's super cool. And you can imagine that some people are clapping, some people are laughing, some people are celebrating. They're coming away from the front of the crowd. They're like, I can walk. I can see. The leprosy is melted away. Like, I didn't know you were a leper that close to me. You know, it's just this really cool moment where some really good stuff is happening. Now, I also want us to be real. That while all that good stuff is happening, it's not happening to everybody. Not everybody's getting in close, at least close enough before Jesus stops so he can teach. There's still some people there that have not. There are people struggling. There are people probably there that showed up a little reluctantly. They heard about Jesus, but they weren't really in. And so now they're like, oh my, I blew it. I could have brought my friend, my coworker, my neighbor, my spouse, my child. I want us just to be real. This is not a two-dimensional moment. This is a three-dimensional moment. It's complicated. There are people celebrating, and there are people that are struggling at that very moment. And then Luke says, in this viral, exciting moment, Jesus turns to his disciples and he gives his opening message to this new movement in the middle of this thing. So it's not just his disciples, it's to everybody there. And I want us to read his message. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 20. He says, looking at his disciples, Jesus said, you guys ready for this? This is the orientation. Think you're in the orientation of your new job, right? You just got your badge, right? You just had the lunch. They brought in Chipotle for everybody, okay? And the CEO comes in and says this. You ready? Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because the Son of Man. Because of the Son of Man. Verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. This is not the best opening message. Forgive me, Jesus, I'm being facetious. But it doesn't feel like it, does it? It's like, is this how you really kick off a movement? Like, you got this viral energy, and Jesus, you show up and say this. So scholars say that the word that Jesus uttered, like in his original language, the word is best defined as fortunate or happy. Would you say happy? So the translators say that the best translation for this is fortunate or happy. However, most English translators of the Bible have not used the word happy. And I've wrestled with this, but I think I get it. Like, happy seems too emotional, too casual, too temporary, you know. In fact, happy, based on what Jesus is saying, seems a little insulting. And so translators opted for a different word, blessed. At least this is how, you know, church people say it. You never say blessed like this anywhere else. Have you noticed this? Nobody ever says, have a blessed day. Like, man, I was so blessed today. But what do we say? We're blessed. All right. So translators have chose to insert the word blessed. Now, I get it. It's a little more digestible. But I fear in the digestible translation that we've lost the radical and revolutionary thing that Jesus is saying. Let's not miss it. Jesus is talking to his disciples and this entire crowd, many of whom were just healed, and many are wondering why they weren't. And he turns and he says this. The joy, the purpose, the meaning, the fulfillment isn't found in the miracle. It's not found in the miracle. It's not found in the solution to your problem. The blessing isn't found in the win that you so desperately need. The joy, the fulfillment, the blessing isn't found in the pain dissipating from your life. The joy, the purpose, the meaning is not found in even the basic thing that everybody seems to have except you. That is not where the joy is found. Jesus says, I want it to be clear that the peace, the joy, the purpose, the blessing is found in the gift of want. I'd like you to write that down, even if you don't want to. The blessing is found in the gift of want. You right now may be sitting in the most blessed moment of your life. Don't miss it. Paul will write later in the New Testament, he says, I have found the secret. I have found the secret of being content in plenty and in, does anyone know? In want. In plenty or in want. That's beautiful and it's challenging. Amen? It's a beautiful and challenging message that you and I might be sitting in the most blessed moment of our life. So the next couple minutes, what I'd like to do, and I'd like us to, I call it decode and embrace the gift of want. So that's what I'm going to call the next few minutes. If you're taking notes, I want to talk about how to decode and embrace a want. And by want, it's just a nice way to say it. It could mean all sorts of things. It could be a pain. It could be a physical pain. It could be an emotional heart ache. It could be a longing. It could be a struggle that you and I are in right now. I want to talk about how do we understand and apply this, Jesus? Because this is a pretty powerful, I think, and impactful message. If this is his first message to his disciples, let's get it. So let's talk about it. I got five things I want to share this morning that might help you and I decode and embrace the gift of want. Number one, and I think we should get this out of the way, is that sometimes the want is a consequence of stupid. Okay? Is it fair enough? Can anybody say amen? It's like, so sometimes the pain in my life is a consequence of dumb things that I have done or I am doing. So my first point, in fact, it may have flashed up there. It didn't say stupid, so I wouldn't put that in notes. I just say it off the top of my head. Okay, so my notes actually say this. My want brings the blessing of growing up. That sounds much more pastoral, okay? Because the truth is that sometimes God allows something bad to happen in my life because he wants to discipline me. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. I know. It's not a fun word to really get started off with. But in truth is that discipline is meant by the Father to be good. Now, discipline has a tendency to do one or two things, not both. Discipline has a tendency to either make me bitter or make me better. Does that make sense? And the difference maker is relationship. The difference maker in whether it makes me bitter or better is how solid the relationship is. Okay, so Brad, can you come up here for a minute? Come on, Brad. Come on, everybody give it up for Brad. So I'm going to read verse 20 before Brad gets up here. It says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So let's talk about this for a minute. So discipline. Have you ever played that game, Brad, where we both put our hands out like this?
Yeah.
You know how you do yours on top? I can't. Okay, I'll do it like this, right? And so what's Brad going to try to do? He's going to slap my hands, right? And so go ahead. Ah! Let's do it the other way. Okay. So it doesn't. Oh, isn't that fun? Wasn't that good? Did you guys hear that? Wow. So we could do this all day, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. He is so gentle, right? But so you guys played this game before, right? Okay, right. So both of us are still smiling, right? Because this is a This is a game. And every time Brad slaps me, I'll smile. But in my head, what am I thinking? I'm thinking a little bit, ouch. I'm thinking, I got to get faster, yeah. Right? And so, so the idea, that's what discipline is, right? And we have all sorts of things in life that they're just like this. Now, if we're playing this game and we're doing this thing and Brad slapped me, we giggle, right? But now if we're not playing the game and Brad comes up and he slaps me.
I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to do that. What would happen? I might slap him back, right? I would probably melt and cry. Thanks, Brad. Go ahead. You can down. The difference in the two scenarios, like someone slaps me and it's not in a game, I melt. And that's because I have this immediate fear like, oh, what did I do? And not only what did I do, I fear that now I've damaged the relationship. I've done something to change my standing in the other person's eyes. Does it make sense? So that's when all of a sudden, that's what happens in kids, by the way. If a child has any insecurity about the relationship, the child has any insecurity about grace and mercy and love in the home, then the discipline always is going to move them to bitterness. But if the child always has a sense of, man, I am so radically loved and my parents deeply love me even in this consequence, I become better. Now, I want you to see how Jesus opens up Luke chapter 6, his sermon. Let's read it again, verse 20. Looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is, would you say yours is? Yours is. Not may. Not yours could be. Not yours is almost there, friends. Like you're so close to being loved. He says, yours is. If you have invited Jesus into your life, you are forever a child of God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, it says that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. In chapter 3, verse 5, God says this, I will never remove your name from that book. Jesus says, let's be clear from the beginning, is that sometimes things happen in your life because stupid is happening. But I've not stopped loving you, and I've not stopped believing in what I want to do in your life. My intent is to grow you through this process. I love it when Jesus tells that parable, and at the end he says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. I've talked about this quite a bit. I love that. I want for you one day, after your last breath here, to breathe into eternity and hear the Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. But I love the next part Jesus says. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. Now come and be faithful with much. It's so interesting to me is that Jesus could have said, well done. Put your feet up. But even in eternity, friends, he's got a purposeful job for you. Like he's getting you ready. He's getting you ready to be a ruler. He's getting you ready to be a judge. He's getting you ready to have influence. The pain in your life, Jesus is using right now because he's got a mission and a ministry for you that you're not quite ready for. Amen? And so right now, how should you respond if right now you're in the middle of discipline, okay? Right now, before you and everybody else, you're like, man, this is in my life because I did stupid, okay? How do you respond to that? Real simple. Grow up. Nobody's writing. Only Donna's writing. Write this down. This is so profound. Thank you, Donna. Grow up. That's what God wants for you right now. He wants you to simply adjust, to change, to say, okay, I get it. And I am going to grow up into the mission, the calling, the character that you have already pre-designed for me. Amen? Okay, let's go on to number two. Number two, the second thing that this pain, this want in my life brings, it brings the blessing of knowing. Blessed are you who are poor. You know what? Throughout Scripture, poor is used in multiple ways. It's not always meant to mean financial poverty. A lot of times through Scripture, it has nothing to do with how much is in your bank account, okay? A lot of times the word poor is used to indicate you're in a time in your life when you recognize your need. That you have now lost some distractions in your life. And maybe for the first time in a long time, you realize how deeply and desperately you need God. And when you're in that place, friends, you are in a really, really good place. Sometimes pain happens in life, not because you did something bad and heaven sent down a lightning bolt. Sometimes it happens because you're a human being. And here on planet Earth, bad things happen. Difficulties happen. Hardships happen. And what God does in those moments is he uses them to draw us close. David writes this in Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? David says, I am awake to my need. I'm realizing for the first time that I am not how much money I make. I am not how busy my calendar is. I am not how much people say they need me. I am a man who's desperately hungry for God. Unless God shows up, nothing else happens. And then David writes this in Psalm 34. He says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. David says, this is the good part, friends. When you're in a place when things have been stripped away, lost your job, you've lost your health, you're alone, I want you to know that he's here. And you have a gift right now. The gift is you can know him. So how do we embrace that? If you're in one of those seasons, I'm just going to give you one simple word. Pray. You got a little more time in your schedule? Pray. You got a little void in your family? Pray. Your kids have moved out of the house. Your kids have started to go to school. You got a little more time? Search the heart of God. You can meet him. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you like a dry and weary land. You're in the middle of about getting ready to know him. Isn't that cool? Okay, let's go on to number three. The third thing that my want means the blessing of seeing. The blessing of seeing. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. You know, sometimes we hunger for things because we've tasted them. Nobody said, mm-hmm. I didn't even get one of those Sunday morning, mm-hmm. Let me explain a little bit, okay? We live a block away from Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's true. Sometimes I am doing so good. I mean, I'm not hungry. I am fine. I've got my tennis shoes on. I got my tights on and my shorts. And I go out for a run in my neighborhood. I'm feeling healthy. I'm thinking about celery maybe later in the day. And I'm jogging by the A&W/Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they have just dropped a batch. And I want you to know, even as I'm talking about it, it's weird. My mouth is watering right now. You guys know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even hungry, but now all of a sudden I'm hungry because I've tasted it, right? Anybody? Anybody ever go by like Jimmy John's when they're baking the bread? Like, you're going to Walmart, you're doing fine, you're going to get some Tide and some toilet paper. But outside Jimmy John's, they have dropped the bread, right? And you're like, oh, bread from heaven, right? And so all of a sudden you're hungry because you've tasted something. The same thing happens in the Christian experience, friends. All of a sudden, because you're a Jesus follower, you're going to see things that you never saw before. It was like when Tracy and I, our first family car, we bought a 1994 Ford Windstar teal. Anybody remember that? We don't remember ever seeing teal minivans. We don't even remember ever wanting a minivan. We got stuck. You know, we had like Number three came, and we couldn't fit him in the two-door anymore, right? So we're like, okay, we'll get this. And all of a sudden, we drove off the Gene Pankey parking lot, 72nd South Tacoma Way, with our teal 1994 Ford Windstar. I want you to know, every stoplight we saw, you know what we saw? 1994 Ford Windstar teal. They were everywhere, all over the city. All of a sudden, we saw them because we've seen it. We've experienced it. We're in it. You guys ever experienced this before? Like, so all of a sudden, here's what happens. When you become a Jesus follower, he begins changing you from the inside out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, while we're in this tent, we groan in our burden because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Paul says, I've been changed now. I see eternity, and I not only see eternity, I see the world a different way. I see broken and lost people. I never saw them before. I see the marginalized. I never saw them before. I see the left out. I never saw them before. Now my soul aches. You see, friends, sometimes we ache and want, not because a consequence of stupid and not just because we're in this world and this world's hard, but sometimes we ache because Jesus has changed our soul and we see the world the way he sees it. Amen? And so what do you do if that's you today? It's tearing you up. Like, you watch the news different now, right? What do? Scripture says you just weep. We weep. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. So let me say, friends, if you hurt, and you got a want and longing, there's part of you that's so frustrated. Listen, violence touched this community again this week in a very personal way. What do? You weep. Cry. Jesus looked out over the city and said, oh, like sheep without a shepherd. He just ached for the city. And so we must ache too. It's the blessing of seeing. Let me go on to number four. The fourth thing that my want means, if I'm trying to decode this, right, and I'm trying to know how to respond, I need to recognize that my want is the blessing of reflecting. Verse 22, Jesus said, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying sometimes the want, the hurt, the frustration, the pain in life is not because of stupid, and it's not because we just live in a world that's hard, and it's not just because we see differently. But it's because we are different. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, Jesus himself is saying it. Buckle in. If you're making a decision to leave your old ways and to remove yourself from being connected to the world and be a lover of the world, and now you're a lover of Jesus and a follower of Jesus, buckle up. Because this old world's going to be against you. It's going to be against you in your house. Amen? It's going to be against you at work. It's going to be against you in your career. It's going to be against you. You're going to come up against difficulty simply because you are a follower of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. That's the sweet part, right? Every day you wake up, Jesus is continuing to refine and shape you so that you reflect Jesus in your face, in your hands, in the way that you live on planet Earth. But 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would also follow in his steps. So I think when we're talking about decoding pain, we have to be honest with ourselves that sometimes, and maybe with ever-increasing days, being a follower of Jesus will simply cost you more. And it's a gift. It's an incredible gift to reflect Jesus in this world. The fifth thing we want to talk about this morning is this. The want, my want, the pain, also brings the blessing of worship. Verse 23, this is how Jesus closes. He says this. Rejoice in that day. Not one day. In that day. Rejoice in that day. And for some of us who don't even like to dance, leap for joy. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is the reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Jesus says, you can stand in the middle of want, in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of pain, in the middle of an unanswered prayer, and you can rejoice. In Psalm 115, it says, it's not the dead who praise the Lord. It's not those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I love Psalm 115 because it shatters an image, I think, a false image that many of us have. Many of us think, man, I gotta make it through here because I can't wait to get to heaven and finally I'll be able to like sing a tune. Like I'll be given a voice and maybe a harp. We have these images that we'll be floating around with harps and we'll be there. Man, there, won't that be great? 10,000 years, I'll just be worshiping Jesus, leaping around. David says, no, you're missing it. The real, vibrant, powerful worship happens on planet Earth in the middle of pain, uncertainty, difficulty, doubt. When we plant our feet and say, Jesus, I believe that you are good, and I will stand here until my last dying breath and say, you are good, you are good, you are always good. It is we here on planet Earth who extol the Lord. Amen? It could be. And I don't want to be too trite, friends, this morning, but it could be that you're in this place right now so that you can sing a song like you've never sung it before. Jesus said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. One of my favorite commentaries, the writer says, it's been said that Jesus promised his disciples three things. That they would be completely fearless, they would be absurdly happy, and they would be in constant trouble. It's like, that's good. We would be completely fearless. We would be absurdly happy, all the while being in constant trouble. If you are in want this morning, you're not only in good company, but you just may be in the most blessed time of your life. I walk through five things way too fast. Sarah's going to play for a minute, and I just want to give you a moment to respond to whatever God may be saying. If you realize today that, man, it is true, I'm here because I'm in the middle of stupid. But maybe during a prayer time, just you could say that. You could use my words like that. You probably have better words than that, but you could use them and say, God, I realize it. I'm going to be honest. The stuff's going on is because I made some dumb decisions. And will you forgive me? You know, 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That moment when a heart says, God, forgive me, that moment you're purified. Isn't that cool? A lot of us were in difficulty, and it has nothing to do with stupid. It's part of the human experience. But God wants to perfect some things in you. And so during this prayer time, You know, you can look back through those notes and just respond to whatever God is prompting you to do. Don't walk out of here without doing something, okay? Fair enough. After she plays for a moment, I'm going to wrap us up in prayer. We have a couple more things, so don't go anywhere. We got some really cool things. But let's just all take a minute and bow, okay? And you do some business with God. This morning, to allow your word to penetrate into our lives. And I pray it penetrates. Sometimes life gets so busy and we're so wrapped up in just making our lives a little better, faster, more efficient. And we have tried to push you into the corner, pull you out only for special days. Oh, but Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord of all things. You're Lord of the universe. You are Lord of this heart. So may your perfect will be done in me and in your people. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. A couple of things. We're in a minute going to pass some baskets. They're going to start on my right. They're going to make their way over here. I'd like to encourage you to drop in that connection card, particularly if this is your first time with us. I know everybody's a little weirded out by giving their information. We're going to be really careful with your information. We do just want to let you know how you can take another step in this church. So take a risk with us. You came, took one risk, you came. Take another risk, drop that connection card in. You're going to see some people are going to use that basket to give a tithe or an offering this morning. And one of the things we ask is we ask our guests not to do that. If this becomes your home, then we hope that you become generous and live generously as Jesus has called us to. And we're a church that lives generously. And so as a guest, please don't put any money in there. But if this becomes home, it should be part of the worship. And it is such an incredible act of worship to live generously. Amen? A couple amens? Amen. So the music's going to play. We're going to pass this. And before the baskets get all the way to the back, a video is going to pop up on the screen. So we are a church that's engaged in God's work all around the globe. And we have mission partners. And on this Sunday, I want you to hear about a partner that I think all of us have. You're going to see a video about the first missionary, the first American missionary ever. And it's a pretty cool story. And then after this, I'm going to invite a couple people up because we have a couple people in our body that are going in a little over a week. They're going to take a short-term mission trip. So, and then we're going to sing a song together. And by the way, during our song, we're going to have a couple people up here. We're going to have Lucy and Tad. They're going to be up here if you want to pray with somebody. So that's what's going to happen in the next couple minutes. You ready? Okay, so let's dim the lights and let's have this video show. And let's hear about the first American.
If you have looked at George's life, he would probably have been voted most likely to fail.
George Lyle, his name was new to us until the beginning of this year. In a way, it feels like he's a forgotten missionary.
I can tell you before, about 9 months ago, I don't know if I'd even heard the name George Lyle. He is the first American missionary sent out. Many people think of William Carey, many people think of Adoniram Judson, but about 30 years before Judson, about 10 years before William Carey, there was a man named George Lyle that went to Jamaica and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with those that were lost.
Born as a slave in Virginia, left Virginia, went to Georgia, and from Georgia became an indentured slave and started churches in Jamaica and other parts of the world.
It amazed me to see the amount of people who came to know the Lord in Jamaica through his work.
He becomes free and have a passion and faithfulness to preach the gospel. When he got saved, it is recorded that Joyce Lyle asked God, give me a work, no matter how mean or difficult it would be, that he risks his life at preaching the gospel. Oh man, if that don't put no winds in your step, I don't know what will.
When you look at someone like George, George gives us more strength to continue. Because if he could do what God called him to do in the midst of what the time that he lived, I mean, what in the world? What am I complaining about?
That faithfulness tells me, Eric Reese, in São Paulo, Brazil, you have the ability to keep going despite the difficulties that comes in our path. Because he had all the reason in the world to say, that's enough. And yet he said, it's not about him, it's about God. And I believe George believed and knew that wherever he was, God was there with him and he could remain faithful because he wasn't serving man, he was serving God.
And he went to Jamaica. I think around 300,000 people became Christ followers out of the work of George Lyle. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to introduce you to a couple of friends. This is Brittany and Austin. Can you steal one of those? Brittany and Austin are getting ready to go on a trip to Africa. Will one of you tell us a little bit about your trip?
I had a feeling it was me. So we're going to Liberia. We are leaving on the 18th. We'll be there about 11 days. And this is a country that's close to our hearts. It's been close to our hearts for decades, really. So we are going to be working in some schools and continuing our partnership with a new school called Action Faith Institute.
Is there anything particularly you'd like your church to pray for?
I came with a list.
Oh, excellent.
Do you hold this one? So God put some things on my heart this week, so I wrote them down. The first one is that we would be a light to our new partners there. I want us to be a team, there's five of us, that can go over and encourage them in their faith. And then also, I want to really honor the work that they are already doing there. I want us to be able to go over and say, great job, and how can we support you and just be a blessing in that way. Oh, and this is all just my list one. Then there's two and three.
Okay.
And then I just want to love them really hard. I want to be people that can cross the ocean and just love, and I want them to feel that. The other one is, I pray that our team experiences God just dramatically, and that God will grow each one of us in our faith journey while we're there. So that's the prayer for our ask. The third one, this is the one I'm feeling a little bit harder today, is that human nature doesn't take over. And that we don't get distracted by the red tape or the agendas, anxieties, and worries. So there's three.
Okay. Sounds like there's even more, but let's pray for that.
Yeah.
We're going to sing in a moment, but let's just stand. And before we sing a song of worship, I'd like you to join me as one church praying for Austin and Brittany. And let's join them in their prayer. Jesus, I thank you so much that you've laid Liberia, an entire country of people, on the heart of Austin and Brittany. I know that they have been engaged in this mission, this work for a long time, and their family has. I'm so grateful, Father, that you have laid precious people on their hearts. Father, it is our prayer that you would do some things. Father, first, we pray that they would go with an immense amount of love and honor for the people and the work. We pray that the people there would be so deeply lifted up. Father, we pray that the team would have such a deep encounter with you, Jesus, the entire way. And God, I pray that there would be a protection from the human element and the frustration that sometimes happens when you go into a different environment and encounter block after block after block. And so I pray that not only that there'd be a peace, but I pray that you would go before and that you would make a way. And Father, I pray that the new partnerships that are being developed would flourish, that children and families and a nation could be restored. Father, I thank you for Austin and for Brittany, and I pray that they would have this would be just such a good moment where they just really encounter the Spirit using them. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Okay, I want you to remain standing. We're going to sing a song of worship as we close. Again, if you would like to pray with somebody, there's going to be a couple people down here. Tad and Lucy, I think, will both be down here if you'd like to pray with somebody. And hey, on your way out, don't forget to stop by the table and get yourself a Foundations book. Join us with the Bible reading challenge for this year. God bless.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could so great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, you are my living hope. Yeah.
Praise you, God.
So thank you,
you just wanted to live there, right? Don't we all?
Yeah.
That's where I want to live. Man, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. The Holy Spirit decodes that blessing for us. But I will tell you, my husband has decoded blessing and suffering to me many times, and I'm thankful for that word today. I am. I'm thankful because it's difficult to walk through suffering. And at the same time, God, you are good. But that is the call. Hey, you guys, speaking of walking in the blessing, the challenge of reading God's word this year is yours. And I hope 100 of you say yes. When you walk out today, you'll see a table. You're going to see books that say Foundations. Take one. Sign up and join us in this challenge of being God's word. I hope that you have a fantastic rest of your Sunday. We will see you back here next week. Be blessed. See ya. You guys don't want to leave. You just want these guys to keep singing. I understand, but it's done now. It's over.